Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's do it one more time. The MSS crew would like to once again thank you for joining us here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. Today's date is Saturday, July 19th, 2014, and this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, as promised, we are back again, doing what we do best, and that is providing you with the highest quality OTR surprises that are within our powers to produce. Allow me to introduce the presenter for tonight's program, and he just so happens to be a MSS fan favorite, and you might have guessed it already, Rotten Rick Spurgeon. Yep, he's up there warming up from that cold, blistering winter. Sit back, grab a snack and a drink, and enjoy the program. Rotten Rick, the microphone is yours.
Hi, everybody. Rotten Rick here again as we go through July and MSS for our turn this month. Yep, summer. And it's a fairly warm one at long last. In fact, it's warm enough that our resident ghost, Edward, who lives in the attic, has long since traded his flannel sheet for a cotton one, and now he's complaining that we need to turn up the scare conditioning. Well, I'm not really going to do that, but we are going to play a couple of shows, and tonight we're kind of looking at this as what my mummy done told me, because she told me. We were talking the other night, and she said, there's a tune floating around. I can't get out of my head, and I know it, and can you help me? So I looked in her left ear, and in the canal, there was a fragment caught there, and it's something like, aha, I said keenly. That must be our friend Mr. Keen, and someday I'll find you. Oh, yeah, that was one of my favorites. You don't happen to have any, do you? Of course we do. And we're going to hear one now. From the long-running series, and this is probably from the end point of World War II, which would be about the time she was listening anyway. We've chosen this one, and we'll just take it from here.
To save both time and money in waxing floors, use economical no-rubbing AeroWax. Just apply it, and in 6 to 9 minutes, it dries itself to a hard, lustrous finish that saves countless scrubbing, makes dingy floors shine like new. Yet AeroWax costs only 25 cents a pint. Try AeroWax, AeroWax, tomorrow. Mr. Keen, tracer of lost persons, is on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Colonos toothpaste present Mr. Keen, tracer of lost persons, one of the most famous characters of American fiction in one of radio's most thrilling dramas. Tonight and every Thursday night from 7:30 to 8 Eastern Wartime, the famous old investigator will take from his files and bring to us one of his most celebrated missing persons cases. But first, for bright, sparkling teeth, a million-dollar smile, try the new Colonos toothpaste. It's a high-polishing toothpaste that acts like a jeweler's polish, removing tarnish from silver. Safely, speedily, it whisks away dingy surface stains that cloud your smile and reveals the full, natural brilliance of your teeth. Get the new high-polishing Colonos at any drugstore tonight. Ask for Colonos toothpaste. K-O-L-Y-N-O-S. Now for Mr. Keene and the case of the boy who used big words. Our story opens in the reception room of Mr. Keene's office as Miss Ellis talks with an unusual visitor, Jimmy Harmon, who is only 12 but wears horn-rimmed glasses and a very serious manner.
Young man, you say you want to see Mr. Keene at once.
Yes, ma'am, I've got to.
Well, he's a very busy man.
I know, but the nature of my business is very imperative.
Important, you mean?
Imperative.
Such big words. What's your name?
James V. Harmon, Jr. And what's yours, if I may ask?
You may, and it's Miss Ellis.
I like you, Miss Ellis. You have a trustworthy face.
Now, Jimmy, you wouldn't be trying to get around me.
Oh, please, Miss Ellis. I've heard so much about Mr. Keene, and I know he's the only man who can help me.
Help you with what?
Well, that's very confidential.
Well, he's talking at the moment with his assistant, Mike Clancy, but I'll see what we can do.
Oh,
come along, Jimmy.
Thank you, Miss Ellis.
Oh, Mr. Keene.
Yes, Miss Ellis?
This young man, Jimmy Harmon, insists upon seeing you.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, Mr. Keene.
I'm afraid I'm rather busy.
I know, but he says the nature of his business is very imperative.
Imperative? What in tarnation is that?
Hush, Mike. Come over, Jimmy. Sit down.
Mr. Keene, you're a gentleman.
Thank you.
Yeah, guess you won't be needing me.
Suppose I introduce you to my assistant, Mike Clancy.
I'm pleased to meet you.
I've heard about you too, Mr. Clancy. Very reliable, they say.
Well, thank you, my boy.
Now, Jimmy, you haven't come here because any member of your family has disappeared, have you?
No, Mr. Keene. Just the opposite. We can't get rid of him.
Of whom?
Of my uncle, Bill Harmon.
Your father's brother?
That's right. You see, Mr. Keene, he came to visit us, approximately 6 months ago.
You mean about 6 months ago?
Approximately. Well, Uncle Bill was only supposed to stay for a week or two, but he's been staying on and on. What I don't like, well, the very first night he sat down in the parlor in the nice, big, soft chair that's always been father's. I went up to him, and I said, Uncle Bill, that's where father always sits.
Yeah?
Well, he works very hard, and he needs that chair to relax in.
Yeah?
Don't you think you ought to get up?
Hey, Jimmy, why don't you just go and chase yourself?
Well, have your parents objected, Jimmy?
You can't object with a man like Uncle Bill. And something more, Mr. Keene.
Yes?
His eyes are too close together, and he doesn't have much back to his head.
Oh, really?
Yes, I made a study of that. It's a sign of bad character. Now take Mr. Clancy's skull.
Now, I thank you to leave my skull alone.
Well, I only wanted to say that your skull shows signs of excellent character.
Oh, well, now, that's different.
Jimmy, this is all very interesting, but...
Wait, Mr. Keene. There's something more.
Well?
I mean the man in black.
What man in black?
Well, I was walking on Fifth Avenue one day with Uncle Bill when this individual suddenly came out of a side street. Black suit, black derby, and black overcoat. He walked up to Uncle Bill and said...
Well, hello, Harmon.
Huh?
Fancy meeting you.
Oh, hello.
Didn't ever expect to run into me again, did you?
Look, I can explain everything.
No, I don't think you can.
I swear, the way it happened...
It happened the wrong way for you, Harmon.
Wait a minute. I can square myself. I can... Taxi! Hey, taxi! Come on, Jimmy. Hop into that cab.
And so your uncle suddenly ran away from this man in black, eh?
Yes, Mr. Keene. And now, I have a feeling that something terrible is going to happen. You've got to help me get Uncle Bill out of our house.
Jimmy, did your parents know you were coming here to see me?
Well, no, sir. I didn't tell them.
I'm afraid I don't really have any right to interfere.
But this is a dangerous situation, Mr. Keene.
Well, the kid's been to too many movies, boss.
Hush.
Mr. Clancy, I resent that remark. I may be only 12 years old. But I'm not a child.
Oh, sure, sure.
Well, Mr. Keene?
Jimmy, much as I understand your dislike for your Uncle Bill, I'm afraid this is a matter for your parents to handle.
But, Mr. Keene...
I hope you'll drop in again someday when I have a little more time. Will you do that?
All right, Mr. Keene. But I know something is going to happen. Something terrible.
Mr. Keene, now if you'll just sign those letters.
Letters? Oh, yes, yes.
You're so absent-minded today. Something bothering you?
I've been thinking about the visit we had yesterday from that strange little boy.
Jimmy Harmon? Oh, he was just scaring himself.
Jimmy has a wisdom and perception far beyond his years.
Imagination, too. Now, here are the letters, pen and ink.
Boss.
Mr. King.
Hello, Mike. Why so excited?
Well, I bought myself an evening paper on the way to the office here. And the first item that hits me eye, cents per service.
Well, come, Mike. Let's see it.
There, in the bottom of page one. Read it, sir.
Man killed in auto accident. Boy vanishes.
Good heavens, that doesn't
Police
mean...
Police were left baffled today by an obvious hit-and-run accident early last night on Madison Avenue, which claimed the life of William Harmon, 44, of 3000 East 89th Street, where he was staying at the home of a brother. The dead man found lying in the roadway had gone walking with his young nephew, James Harmon Jr., age 12. But there has been no sign of the boy since the accident. Police are investigating.
Heavens above.
Hand me my hat and coat, Mike. I must talk to Jimmy's parents at once.
Oh, yes, Mr. Keene. We knew Jimmy admired you, but we didn't know he'd been to see you.
He didn't tell you, Mrs. Harmon?
No, Mr. Keene.
He always used to say that if anybody ever disappeared, you'd be sure to find him.
Well, Mr. Harmon, more than ever, I hope I can justify Jimmy's faith in me. He's a splendid boy.
So serious and so good. A sweet little owl.
The way I blame myself for this. As I've told you, Jimmy had certain premonitions.
Well, I don't know that that had anything to do with it. We talked to a Lieutenant Walker.
Of the Missing Persons Bureau?
Yes.
He's an old friend of mine. What was his theory?
Just a hit-and-run case. And he thinks that maybe Jimmy became unnerved at the sight of blood and ran away. Or else...
We hate to think of it.
Or else that Jimmy was also hurt and the driver maybe took him to some hospital and left him there. What do you think, Mr. Keene?
I need more facts. Now, what can you tell me about your brother, Mr. Harmon?
Well, Bill is my brother and I don't like talking bad of the dead.
He moved in 6 months ago and just wouldn't move out again.
What was his occupation?
Occupation? I wouldn't much know. I hadn't seen him in 10 years. Business, he said.
He talked about big deals sometimes. He said he'd made a lot of money out west.
Mm-hmm. What was he supposed to be doing in New York?
Looking for some opportunity to invest.
And that's all you know?
Oh, I wish we could do something more to help you, Mr. Keene. You're so kind to drop everything like this and go hunting for Jimmy.
To me, it's the most important case of my life. Well, I'll have to go now. The Missing Persons Bureau is my next stop.
Thank you, Mr. Keenan. God bless you.
You see, Lieutenant Walker, it just happened the boy came to my office yesterday to tell me that strange story.
Well, I certainly appreciate the tip, Mr. Keene. It makes it more than just a hit-and-run accident.
I'm very much afraid so. You don't mind my stepping into the case, Lieutenant?
No. Glad to have you.
About the boy, I presume you're in touch with all the hospitals?
Yes, it's still possible he was also hurt. The driver was soft-hearted enough to want to get him to a doctor.
Yes. There weren't any witnesses to the accident or whatever it was?
No one. No, excuse me. Lieutenant Walker speaking. Oh, yeah, Martin. You got a pretty good set of prints? What's that? Yeah. Well, thanks anyhow.
Bad news, Lieutenant?
Funny news, Mr. Keene. I was a man at the morgue. Jeepers, there are 2 billion people in the world, and they all got fingerprints. Now, just when it would help to know...
This man has no fingerprints?
Not a trace.
You mean his fingertips have been mutilated?
Yep, the old gag. All 10 fingers badly burned and healed over with scars.
Yes, that is news.
Yeah, clear as day. He was an old mobster, did it deliberately to cover up his record.
Well, maybe he did once have an accident.
No. He belonged to a mob.
One way or another, we're up against a stone wall. Even his own brother knows nothing about him.
Well, Mr. Keene, only one thing left to do. Send out a nationwide alarm for the kid, Jimmy. So, if you'll excuse me now...
I'm running along anyhow. No fingerprints. Who was he, anyhow? What was he hiding?
And so the case takes a baffling turn for Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons. Meanwhile, Thousands of girls who suffer the heartache of being unpopular, clever, pretty, smartly dressed girls, have just one thing to blame: teeth that rob them of charm when they smile. Thousands of men whose livelihood depends on selling themselves to others have the same weakness of appearance to blame. They don't know it or notice it, but the people they contact do. You may or may not be one of those people, but if you have the slightest suspicion that you are, try the new Colonos toothpaste, a high-polishing toothpaste. You'll find Colonos helps remove those dingy, unattractive surface stains from your teeth, brings out all the natural luster and brilliance that adds so much to your smile. Start using the new Colonos tonight. Remember, it's a high-polishing toothpaste. You can get Colonos, K-O-L-Y-N-O-S, Colonos toothpaste at any drugstore. Now back to Mr. Keene as he returns once more to the home of Jimmy's parents.
See, Mr. Harmon, Mrs. Harmon, the one important thing right now is to get back in the dead man's past.
Well, I've shown you every blessed thing that was in his room, Mr. Keene.
Not one single paper there to give us a lead. One moment. Do you recall anybody who may have phoned him regularly?
Well, now, come to think of it...
Yes, Mrs. Harmon?
The one person I ever knew Bill to have anything to do with, it was last week. Mr. Benson phoned him here 2 or 3 times.
Benson? Any idea who he was?
No.
Or where he might be reached?
See, I remember once that Bill wasn't in, and Mr. Benson left a message where to call him back.
Where? Try to remember. It may be very important.
A hotel it was. It's a funny name, like that man in England.
What man?
Lord somebody. He has to do with rationing. It was the only way I remembered.
Oh, Woolton?
That's it. The Hotel Woolton.
You say you're looking for him, Mr. Benson?
That's right, clerk.
You wouldn't have his first name.
I'm afraid not. All I know is that he was registered here last week.
I looked through these files. Yes, we had a Harley Benson.
Good. Is he still in the hotel?
No, checked out yesterday.
Yesterday. All the bad luck. Did he leave any home address with you?
Just Chicago.
That's a very big city. Of course, there's just a chance he might be in the Chicago telephone book.
But you'll find the out-of-town phone books on the end of the counter there.
Thank you.
Find it, sir?
Yes, here it is, thank you.
Baldwin. Baldwin.
Benson.
Any luck, sir?
No. No. No Harley Benson. I rather imagine he wouldn't be in the phone book anyhow.
Well, sir, if there's anything more I can do, I'll
yes,
be...
Yes, there is. You keep records, of course, of all long-distance phone calls for your guests?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Would you mind showing me Benson's? To explain my right to ask, my name is Keene. I'm a tracer of lost persons. I'm now looking for a 12-year-old boy, Jimmy Harmon, who has disappeared.
Oh, yes, I read all about it in the papers. Let me see, the bill file's right here, Mr. Keene. Yes, here's Benson. He made several calls.
Did he call Chicago?
Yes, sir, 3 times. His only long-distance call.
And the number he phoned?
Here you are, sir. The same all 3 times.
Thank you, clerk. That's all I need to know.
Well, here we are, boss. This is the house that Benson phoned to from New York.
Didn't expect this. It's as pretty a cottage as I've ever seen.
Well, I've known gangsters to hide out in stranger places.
All right. Strike a match now, Mike. Let's see the name on the doorbell. It says Malcolm Dugan.
That's an alias. I'm sure it's Benson. And that Benson is that man in black that Jimmy talked about.
Possibly.
Well, let's bust right in and face it.
Hey, you out there. Anything you want?
Well, you see, we...
I seen you through the window, prowling around in the dark.
Indeed you did, Benson.
How'd you know my name?
That's a long story. I've come all the way from New York to talk with you. Though I didn't expect to find you under the name of Dugan.
Dugan's a cousin of mine. I board here.
May we come in?
Sure. Why not?
Now then. My name is Keene.
Say, not the detective.
That's right. This is my assistant, Mike Clancy.
Okay. What's next?
What do you know about Bill Harmon?
Bill Harmon?
A gunman, huh? Trigger man for one of the Chicago mobs. Alky racket. Or was it dope? Or maybe black market. And you did him in.
Oh, wait a minute, Clancy. Back up.
All right. Tell us in your own way.
Harmon ain't no mobster. He was the same as what I still am.
And what's that?
A prison guard in the Lakeshore Penitentiary.
A prison guard?
Sure, until 5 years ago when he quit. I didn't hear a word from him until I was in New York on vacation last week and ran into him on the street.
On the street? You get that, boss?
1 second, Mike. Benson, are you in the habit of wearing black suits and overcoats?
Me? You think I'm an undertaker?
Well, now, when you ran into Harmon, did he tell you what he was doing?
Salesman, he said. We had a couple of beers together, 2 or 3 times. He didn't talk much.
Tell me, was there any special reason why he left his job at the penitentiary?
No, just quit.
What were his duties?
Same as me, guarding the death house. And come to think of it...
Yes?
There was something a little funny in his quitting. He did it just a couple of hours before that big racketeer Legs Mosley was burned.
Mosley? Oh, yes.
And Harmon just walked out. Said he had enough executions. Well, it happens that way sometimes with a guard.
Yes, I've heard.
But now I remember something else. The minute Legs came out for his last walk to the chair, he asked for Harmon. Where's Harmon, he says. He's got to be here. He's always here. I said Harmon had a previous appointment.
So Legs kept asking for him.
Yeah, Mr. Keene. Think it meant anything?
Tell me something else, Benson. Are there any members of the old Mosley mob still in the penitentiary that I could talk to?
No, not a one. Tell you what, though. There is a guy in the pen, a lifer, who was supposed to burn the same night with Mosley. He got reprieved to life. His name is Rayburn. Like to talk to him?
You bet I would. The first thing tomorrow morning. Rayburn, I gather you're no gangster.
No, Mr. King. I committed my murder over a woman.
Well, as I've told you, I'm trying my best to trace a fine 12-year-old boy who's disappeared. Somehow the trail leads right here to the penitentiary.
How do you mean?
It's too long a story to tell right now. There's only one question I want to ask.
Yes, sir?
Why did Bill Harmon suddenly quit his job as a guard in the death house a few hours before Mosley's execution?
Well, you see...
And why didn't Harmon have the nerve to go into the death chamber that night to see him executed?
Mr. Keene, I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
Don't worry about that. Harmon is dead. The question now is to try to save the life of an innocent boy. Well, why did Harmon quit?
Well, because he welched on a bargain.
Welched? How?
Well, while Lex Mosley was waiting to burn, some of his gang reached Bill Harmon and made a proposition. They would pay him $20,000 if he would help spring Legs from the death house. The brains of the plan was a fellow called Blackie.
Blackie?
Well, they called him that because he always dressed in black. Blackie Westlake.
Yes, go right on.
Well, the way I got the story, Harmon agreed. But he wanted some of the money in advance. So they gave him $10,000, and he would get the rest after Legs was over the wall and free. I knew all about it because they were going to let me walk out the same time.
But Harmon never carried out his crooked bargain.
No, Mr. King. Talk of crooks out-crooking each other. He took the $10,000 and beat it. Legs died in the chair. I got a reprieve. But that's ancient history, isn't it?
Yes, ancient history that suddenly came back to life. Thank you, Rayburn.
Why, sure, boss, it's as plain as day now. Blackie Westlake and the other members of the old mob killed Harmon for revenge.
Yes, and abducted Jimmy because he had once seen Blackie before and was in a position to identify him to the police.
Right.
Now the next step. We phone Lieutenant Walker in New York and ask him to send out an alarm.
For every member of the old Mosley mob?
No, Mike. Just for Blackie Westlake.
And why just for Blackie?
To start a civil war.
Boss, I don't get it.
You know the old saying, when thieves fall out, honest men get their due? Mike, that's the only way of getting Jimmy safely out of the hands of those gangsters.
Oh, psychology stuff.
Right. Let's phone Walker now and then get back to New York.
Good morning, Professor. How do you do, Professor?
Oh, it's you, the hoodlum they call Blackie.
Next on that hoodlum stuff.
Well, that's what you are. When are you going to let me out of the cellar?
When I feel like it. Get back there, or I'll slap you.
That's better.
Look, Four Eyes, I brought you a sandwich out of the kindness of my heart.
I don't want your sandwich. Why are you keeping me here?
Because you're too darn smart, Professor. You saw us bump off your dear, dear uncle. If I let you go, the cops would take you to headquarters, you'd identify my picture.
Just what I thought. You're one of those habitual criminals.
Shut up.
I can tell that from the shape of your ears and the index of your cranium.
Stop that highbrow stuff. My cranium's all right.
Where is this place you're keeping me?
A warehouse. And a lot nearer your home plate than you think.
I'm sick of it. It's cold. Let me out of here.
You stay right here till the noise dies down. Now go on. Get back. Get back or I'll smack you.
Take your hand off me. Let me go.
Oh, yeah?
You slapped me right in the face. You knocked my glasses off.
And that's only a sample.
Let me out of here. Let me go.
Wise guy.
Hey, Blackie.
Yeah, Montana?
Over here. I was just outside and got a newspaper.
So what?
Me and the others are scrambling out of here.
Why?
Look at this paper. The front page.
Let me see. Oh.
Blackie Westlake hunted in murder and abduction. That means you.
Jesus. I thought I was covered up the whole way.
You ain't, but we are.
Now, wait a minute, Montana.
You're hot, Blackie, hot as fire. The whole town's looking for you. So the rest of us is taking the car and scrambling. Because we're still in the clear.
You're not walking out on me. You're staying right here. If we burn, we burn together.
Not in your life, Blackie.
Okay, maybe this'll teach you.
Oh, you rat! Larry French, come quick!
Oh, so you want to shoot it out, huh?
It just makes me sick to think of Jimmy in the hands of those gangsters.
He's a bright boy, Mrs. Harmon. We can count on him handling himself intelligently.
Besides, Mother, the police are hunting everywhere.
Yes, but they might take weeks and still not find him.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Harmon. I've done my best. Now it's only a question of letting nature take its course.
Nature? But, Mr. Keene, those men are killers.
That's exactly what I'm counting on. You see...
Oh, the door.
Now go and see. Just remain calm, Mother.
Hello,
everybody.
Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy. Thank God you're back again. Jimmy, my darling.
Hello, Mother. Hello, Dad.
Oh, darling, did those men hurt you? Are you all right?
We're just a little hungry. Relax, everybody.
Oh, Jimmy, we were just about crazy with worry. Where were you?
In a warehouse in Brooklyn.
Well, how did you ever get away from there?
In a police car. Thanks to Mr. Keene. I guess you'd like to know what happened, Mr. Keene.
Yes, Jimmy, I certainly would.
Well, just about an hour ago, I was locked in the cellar, but I heard an argument start. The rest of the gang wanted to run away without Blackie. Suddenly, they were shooting all over the place. When the police came a little later, they were all dead or dying. Like the Kilkenny cats.
Good heavens.
You see, Mr. Keene, they didn't have much loyalty to each other.
Yes, Jimmy, that's exactly what I was counting on.
Mr. Keene, Lieutenant Walker told me how you did it while he was driving me back. Psychology, that's what you call it.
Whatever it was, Mr. Keene. You saved Jimmy's life.
How can we ever thank you?
My own happiness is reward enough.
Mr. Keene, there was something I wish to request of you.
Yes.
What's that?
Well, when I go up, may I have a position in your organization?
Well, Jimmy, I never had a higher compliment from anybody. Of course you may.
Listen next week at the same time when Mr. Keene brings us the fascinating case of Mr. Trevor's Secret. Today, the girl, a woman who wants to be popular, knows that one of her most important assets is a charming smile and teeth that sparkle and gleam. Knows that no matter how smartly she may dress or make up, teeth that are dingy and discolored looking instantly create an unfavorable impression. And the same is true of the man in business, whose very livelihood depends on selling himself. He knows how quickly discolored looking teeth can bring failure. That's why today thousands of smart and successful men and women are changing to the new Colonos high polishing toothpaste. So for your own sake, try the new Colonos toothpaste yourself. It works like a jeweler's polish on tarnished silver. It helps remove dull, dingy surface stains, revealing the natural brilliance and sparkle of your teeth. Ask for Colonos toothpaste, K-O-L-Y-N-O-S, at your drugstore tonight. You've been listening to Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons. Now on the air at a new time, every Thursday night, 7:30 to 8 Eastern Wartime, over this network. Don't miss Mr. Keene next Thursday night when the kindly old Tracer turns to the case of Mr. Trevor's secret. This is Larry Elliott saying good night for the makers of Colonel's Toothpaste and inviting you to listen to Friday on Broadway at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Wartime over most of these stations tomorrow night.
And there we had the case of the boy who used big words. It wasn't quite the end of the war. It was February of 1944, but the right era for when my mother would have been listening to it. So our discussion continued, and I figured we'd be getting something from Wixie pretty soon because they grew up. My parents did. I think they grew up. Well, some of them did. Anyway, across the river from Detroit, so right in the heart of WXYZ when it was at its best. And I remember the stories about hanging around the console radio listening to the Lone Ranger. And my dad was a big Sergeant Preston fan, so I was thinking this was where she was going to go. Well, she did pick one of the big ones, but not the one I thought it was. And that was this one.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies that even the G-men cannot reach. The Green Hornet. Adventure, Trouble Hits the Trolleys. The events and characters depicted in this drama are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
Gee, thanks.
Some story in the Clarion, mister? About the streetcar.
Yeah, I know all about it. Listen, kid, why don't you plug the Daily Sentinel instead of the Clarion?
Huh?
You're selling both of them, aren't you?
Sure, but that don't mean...
Sentinel's got a better story than the Clarion ever had.
No, it ain't, mister.
Don't tell me, sonny. I phoned it in myself. It's all over the front page.
Yeah, but it ain't as good as the Clarion story.
Now, listen,
well, take a look if you don't believe me. There's a Sentinel right here.
Well, I'll be... Hey, taxi! Taxi!
Clarion, here! Three Clarions! And
look at that. Selling three Clarions to every one of ours. The Daily Sentinel office. Step on it. A fine yarn this is. Why didn't we give it an eight-column head like the Clarion? And I don't even rate a byline. And sometimes I figure maybe I'm working for the wrong outfit. All this a headline. Accident delays streetcar service. Yeah. Say, what's the matter with this taxi? I can make better time walking. The Sentinel story, that streetcar business.
Nothing like the Clarion's, Mr. Reed.
In this case, the Clarion isn't happy unless it can be sensational. As long as I'm publisher of this paper, I'm not going to color any story to gain circulation. A lot of readers may want lurid yellow journalism, but they won't get it from the Sentinel.
I bet Lowry will be burned up, Mr. Reed.
Lowry? Why?
I imagine he expected a byline on this.
Bylines are reserved for scoops or special features. Every paper in town covered this. Lowry knows that.
He ought to.
Lowry's one of the best reporters in the game, Miss Case. But once in a while, he lets his nose for news carry him to extremes.
Well, I guess every reporter looks for sensation.
Miss Case, there's something behind these accidents that doesn't strike me as being on the level.
Well, I did notice that there weren't any until about the last month or so.
Just when this man Fisher starts a campaign to operate buses in place of the streetcars.
Hey, Mr. Reed, I didn't notice that.
What's going on around here, Casey? The Clarion's beating us 3-for-1 up. Oh, hello, Mr. Reed.
The streetcar story, is that it, Larry?
Well, yeah, that's it, boss. Of course, I know there weren't any passengers injured, and there was no real damage to speak of.
Sentinel said that, Larry.
Well, I guess the Clarion stretched the truth a little.
A little? They called it a panic.
Any sign of panic that you saw, Larry?
No, one dame fainted when the door jammed, that's all.
The Clarion would call a bargain sale at a dress counter a panic.
But look, boss, I don't usually go out on a limb this way about a small-time accident. Only with that battle about the bus franchise coming up before the city council, this stuff is news.
Not the way you think, Lowry.
Huh?
You recognize the name Fisher?
The guy who's angling for the bus franchise?
What's your opinion of him?
Offhand, I don't like him.
Well, that's the feeling of most people.
Nothing's ever been proved against him, has it, Mr. Reed?
No, Miss Case. He's very clever.
He may get his buses.
Yes, Lowry. A month ago, the city council would have laughed at his demand.
They're not laughing now.
Yeah, but don't you get it? Doesn't it strike you as odd that the streetcar line should start running into trouble right when Fisher starts his campaign?
One more accident and he'll get that franchise.
Say, I must have been wearing blinders not to see it before. It's as plain as the nose on my face.
Plainer, if possible.
Lowry, I want to find out what's going on.
You and me both, boss.
If Fisher's responsible for the trouble the trolleys have been having, the Sentinel wants to know it.
Okay, I'll start digging up dope on Fisher.
Where he goes, who he sees, what he does, everything. Make it good and you get that byline.
Right.
And get me the district attorney, Miss Casey. You might have some stuff that'll prove useful.
So Fisher's the baby to go after.
Get the district attorney and put the call through to Mr. Reed's wire. You still alone, Raleigh?
Casey, there's one thing that burns me up.
Do tell, because you didn't get a byline?
No, it's the Clarion. Selling three papers to wire one. It isn't right.
The Sentinel could use a scoop, Lowry.
You're telling me. The next time trouble hits the trolleys, all I wish for is that Fisher's in the middle of it.
The middle of the wreck?
No, pal, the middle of the story.
I hope you're right, but I...
Yeah, I know. Fisher's too smart. But you heard the boss. I'm going after him anyway.
Absolutely no trouble, Grady. If not a soul suspects those accidents weren't genuine.
And what more do you want?
Plenty.
The city council already has my report.
Those reports aren't strong enough.
Listen, Fisher, there's a limit.
When the limit is reached, I'm the one who'll call a halt, Grady, not you.
Now, hold on.
The city council will never act on reports like yours.
If you want stronger reports, you've got to have tougher accidents.
You're the city inspector, aren't you?
Sure.
Then fake those reports.
There's a limit to what I can fake, Fisher. When a door jams, I can't make it look like a smack-up. If the brakes stick, I can't say there ain't no brakes at all.
Why not?
Too many people can check up on me, that's why.
That bus franchise is going through, Grady. I don't care how.
That's your business.
And yours. If you want any dough from me, you'll see that.
Yeah? I get this, Fisher. I'm in with you, sure. I can use a cut of the gravy you're heading for, same as anyone else. I'm making my reports as strong as possible without no one getting wise, see?
You better.
Now you get that man of yours and the car barns to do a job on one of those streetcars so it'll really crack up.
And what?
I'll turn in a report that will spell ruin for the streetcar company just like that. You'll be in, Fisher.
The ones we have aren't strong enough, huh?
You'd be taking a chance. Fix another accident and you can't miss.
In that case, I might as well make sure.
Now, you're talking.
I'll get in touch with my man at once. This time, there'll be plenty for you and a district attorney, too.
You can't
go in there.
I am in, sister.
By what right are you...
Sorry to bust in like this, Mr. Fisher, but I had a deadline to meet.
Oh, you're a reporter. And that's different to have a cheer.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, nice place you got here, Mr. Fisher. Wish the Daily Sentinel would do as well by us.
The Daily Sentinel? I think maybe I'll be on my way.
Hey, if I'm interrupting something...
No, no, not at all. Goodbye, Fisher.
Guy sure was in a hurry.
He had an engagement.
Isn't he Grady, the city inspector?
Who?
Grady. Works for the city.
No. No, just a friend of mine. Now, what can I do for you, Mr. What did you say your name was?
I didn't say, but it's Lowry.
Oh, yes, Lowry, with the Daily Sentinel. Say, what happened to you boys on that streetcar story?
We had it.
The Clarion played it up big.
It wasn't important enough.
Not important. Think how many people ride on those streetcars.
A lot.
The lives of hundreds, thousands of people may be in constant danger, and you call it unimportant.
Get off the soapbox, Fisher. Everyone knows your angle.
Of course they do. I want my bus franchise to go through because the streetcar line is mismanaged, antedated, and a menace to the citizens of this city.
Buses are better, huh?
Much better. There's no comparison. Now, why don't the Sentinel get smart and help in my campaign?
Like the Clarion, huh?
Exactly. How about it, Lowry?
How about what?
You're in a position to do me some good, Lowry.
You mean a nice little follow-up story on the streetcar accident? Placing the blame on the management of the company?
That's the idea.
Or maybe an editorial?
Sure. Who knows? I might be able to do a favor for you in return.
It sounds pretty nice.
Sure it is. I knew as soon as you came in the door, you were a smart guy. What do you say?
Why, you chiseling, lying crook. You no good scheming grafter.
Now see here.
You see here. Try to bribe me, will you? Bribe a reporter. If you weren't smaller than me, I'd plaster you flatter than that rug.
Get out of my office.
It's a pleasure. And get this, Fisher. The Sentinel is going after you with both barrels. If this bus franchise of yours is as phony as you are, then all I hope is I'm the guy who writes it up. Boy, oh boy, will I scorch you.
A two-pint reporter talking to me that way. After I get through with that streetcar company, there won't be enough left. Moran? You know who this is? I want you and Atwell to get busy. And that's right. Make it a real crack up this time. The worst the streetcars ever had.
Atwell.
Yeah? What do you want, Moran?
Put down that wrench. We got a job to do.
You mean through
the... Never mind the name. What's the next car going out?
Number 618. Right over there.
Okay. Come on.
What's it going to be this time? The brakes? Another jammed door?
Open your lip and get moving. We're getting twice as much dough for this one. We're giving up the works.
Can you tell me where I get the streetcar for Parsons Avenue, officer?
Right here, lady, at the bottom of this hill.
Thank you.
Well, that's her now, just starting down the hill.
It's coming awfully fast.
Hey, look at that trolley. Why would he stop? He's out of control. It's heading this way.
Look out!
It's going to crash!
My report of the streetcar accident shows that the cause of the crash was faulty safety equipment. There is definite evidence of criminal negligence on the part of the streetcar company. Signed, Grady, City Inspector.
The City Council hereby calls a special meeting to vote on the bus franchise. Signed, Hopkins, Chairman of the City Council.
District Attorney for this city, I am indicting the officials of the streetcar company for criminal negligence resulting in injury to passengers. Signed, Martin, District Attorney.
Pepper X-ray! District Attorney, 12 streetcar crash! City Council to vote on bus franchise! Pepper X-ray!
I tell you, boss, I went over the whole setup with a fine-tooth comb. There's not a single string leading to Fisher.
What about Grady?
Not a thing.
He was calling on Fisher while you were there.
Sure, I knew it was him, but he's in the clear. His report on the crack-up has been checked and double-checked.
And if he wants to place the blame squarely on the streetcar officials, who's to stop him?
Those two new men in the car barns, you got anything on them?
Moran and Atwell?
You say they've been spending money freely. Did they explain it?
Yeah, claimed they wanted betting on a horse.
Try to check up on that.
Honest, boss, we're stymied. It's airtight all the way.
Gosh, I hate to think of a man like Fisher getting away with a stunt like this.
Me too, Casey.
Sometimes I'd like to take the law into my own hands.
What?
Well, honestly, Mr. Reed, isn't that the only way to catch these crooks?
Oh, Casey, hold on. There's only one gent who can get away with that stuff. And you don't look like the Green Hornet to me. Am I right, boss, or am I right? Huh?
He says I don't look like the Green Hornet, Mr. Reed.
I guess nobody listens to me around here.
No, I heard you, Lowry. I was just thinking.
That evening, while Britt Reed was in his apartment, he spoke to Cato, his valet, and the only living man to know that Britt Reed is really the dreaded Green Hornet.
And that's the whole story, Cato. Fisher has his tracks covered from every angle.
What about Otwell Milan, Mr. Britt?
No good, Cato. Even if those two could be charged with the crime of damaging the streetcar, even if they were picked up, it wouldn't have to catch Fisher.
Why not?
There's no actual evidence to connect them with Fisher. He could deny he ever heard of them.
You look for something?
Writing paper. Yeah, here it is.
Here's the ink.
No, I don't want this ink. There'll be some of the other in this drawer. Yeah, here we are. I want the mask and gun, Cato. The car. Is the Black Beauty ready?
Yes, sir.
Quite a job disguising my handwriting. Now,
my seal on the bottom.
Placing the letter in his pocket, Britt Reed went through a secret panel in his clothes press. With Cato, he walked through a narrow passage within the walls of the apartment house, then downstairs to the supposedly abandoned warehouse that housed the sleek black car of the Green Hornet.
Ready? All right, get in.
Once more, the powerful black car roared through the city streets, carrying the Green Hornet on his errand of justice. The curtain falls on the first act of our Green Hornet adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. To continue our story. A serious accident on the trolley line increased agitation to replace the streetcars with buses. Although the streetcar lines were blamed for the accidents, Biff Reed had reason to believe that they had been engineered by Fisher, who was out to grab the bus franchise. When ordinary methods failed to pin the guilt on Fisher, Britt Reed assumed the role of the Green Hornet to bring the criminal to justice.
Father, it's late. You should go
sleep. I can't sleep, Sally. Tomorrow the council decides on the bus franchise. They'll vote against me.
Dad, they can't throw away all you've worked for. The streetcar lines are the finest in the country.
Not anymore, Sally. Not when people are hurt through my neglect.
Oh, it's not your doing, Dad.
It's my responsibility.
Oh, Dad.
Fisher will get his franchise. Put me out of business.
Here's something to make you sleep.
Leave it on the night's table, Sally.
There. The lights are out, too. Good night, Dad.
Good night. No good thinking about it. Might as well do as Sally says. I'll open the window first. Fresh air.
Don't move, Hanson.
Who are you? What are you doing out there?
Never mind that. Take this letter.
I...
Take it. That's better. Now listen, Hanson.
I'm not listening to... The mask. You're the Green Hornet.
Now you'll do as I say or let you have some of this gas.
What do you want?
That letter tells you what to do, Hanson.
You can take it or leave it.
Suppose I refuse.
Read it first and then decide. If you want to go on running your trolleys, you'll do as I say.
And the ace of spades. That's 40 smackers you owe me, Apple.
Shut up and deal.
Regular sucker, ain't you? Next thing you know, you won't have none of that dough Fisher gave you.
Put the cards down, Moran.
Huh?
Who's butting in?
Well, the guy's masked.
Keep your hands on the table.
Hey, I know who you are. That mask you're wearing. You're the Green Hornet.
The Hornet? Let me out of here. I ain't hanging around.
Back in that chair and listen. You two, Atwell.
We ain't done nothing to you.
You two are experts on fixing streetcars, aren't you?
Now, wait a minute.
What's all I know about you two?
I tell you, you got us wrong.
Now, cut it out, Atwell. This guy's the Green Hornet. We ain't fooling with him. Okay. Sure were the guys that done a job on them trolleys.
At Fisher's orders, eh?
Listen, Hornet.
You heard me? Talk.
You know it all anyway. What's the sense of asking us? Sure it was Fisher.
Hey, who you calling?
I'm calling your boss.
For what?
He's going to meet us at the car barns.
What?
We ain't going to the car barns.
Well, I want conversation from you, too. I'll ask for it.
Yeah, but
we don't move, understand? This gun has gas enough to take care of both of you. Hello, Fisher.
You
this is the Green Hornet talking. That's what I said, the Green Hornet. Moran, come here.
Me?
Fisher's on the other end of this phone. He doesn't believe it's the Green Hornet is calling. Convince him.
Hello, boss? Yeah, this is Moran. It's him, all right.
That's enough. And get this, Fisher. I'm going over to the car barns with these two stooges of yours. Yes, tonight. I expect to meet you there inside half an hour. Never mind why. If you expect that bus franchise of yours to go through, you'll be there. Now, your whole scheme will be blown higher than a kite.
You can't do this, Hornet. You can't make us go over there.
You heard what I said. Get moving.
Not on your life.
In that case, I'll call the police. They'll be glad to know who's responsible for that trolley trouble.
Oh, hold on.
That's better. Now, you're being smart.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll go with you, Hornet.
Remember, one false move...
You won't need the rod, Hornet. We're going.
All right. Come on, you rats, march!
Ah, it's pretty slow tonight, Lowry. Nothing but a couple of disturbing the peace charges. Stuff like that.
Well, as long as I'm covering the police news, I might as well keep hanging around. Never can tell when something's going to pop.
That's what we're here for. Say, whatever happened to that big lug that used to work for Mr. Reed?
You mean Mike Axford, dog?
Who else would I be meaning? The way that guy used to get in my hair. Him and his theories. And every last one of them wrong.
The boss got a letter from him the other day. He's out west.
Oh, he is, eh? Well, all I hope is he stays there.
Don't bank on it too much, Doyle. He may come back before...
Police headquarters. Sergeant Doyle speaking.
Police, this is Hanson. President of the Street Railways.
Yeah? What's wrong, Mr. Hanson?
Earlier this evening, I got a letter from the Green Hornet.
What is that name? Did you say Green Hornet?
Holy mackerel, Doyle.
Quiet, Lowry. Keep talking, Mr. Hanson.
I'd prefer to have you come out here to my place at once. It's on the corner.
I know where it is. A squad car will be out there with me in it. What's up?
I'll explain that when you arrive.
Okay. The Green Hornet, is it? Well, here's where the Hornet loses his sting.
That's what you think, Doyle. I want to be around when you try.
Say, listen, Hornet, what's the idea of Atwell and me doing a job on this trolley?
Yeah, don't tell me you're working the same racket that Fisher's been doing.
Keep working. You'll learn no reason soon enough.
Hard work using this file with only a flashlight to give us light.
Put some soap on that file. I don't want any unexpected visitors.
What's the difference? The regular car barn's on the next block. Repair shop's empty after midnight.
Sure, nobody's gonna butt in. Nobody could even hear us. Hey, you turned off the flashlight. We can't see nothing.
Quiet.
Must be Fisher, Hornet.
Keep quiet.
Don't either of you try to move. I can see your figures plainly against the window.
Right, Atwell. Where are you?
That light. It's blinding.
I'm over beside the others, Fisher.
What? The Hornet, Fisher. He's got us.
I knew that phone call would bring you down here in a hurry.
So it is true. That phone call did come from the Green Hornet.
I told you.
I wasn't sure, but I couldn't chance it.
He made us.
What do you want?
Drop that wrench, Atwell.
That's better. The
Now keep your hands high.
What are you after, Hornet? Is it money?
You see these, Fisher?
Huh?
Green Hornet stickers.
Yeah, you're in a spot, Fisher. Suppose I plaster this trolley with these stickers. Put them all over.
Go ahead. That has nothing to do with me.
No. The city council will think the Green Hornet caused the streetcar accidents. Hanson will be vindicated. What will happen to your bus franchise then?
Let the streetcars go on running.
Exactly, Fisher.
Hornet, I'll give you $20,000.
I want more than that.
$30,000 if you forget the street.
I don't mean money, Fisher. All I want from you is your signature.
My signature?
Either you confess your part in these trolley crashes or those stickers, go on.
Well, whichever I do, I'm finished.
Right. Either way, you lose.
He's got you, boss. You're bluffing, Hornet.
Am I?
What can you possibly get out of it if I confess?
Nothing personally. Only the satisfaction of knowing that your dirty scheme has been ruined. You better hurry, Fisher. The police will be here any minute.
The cops? Hey.
What?
You're not serious.
All right, Fisher, the stickers go on.
No, wait, I'll sign. Give me time to get away before they come. Here. Pen's right here in my pocket.
And here's the confession.
Pretty sure of yourself, weren't you?
Hurry.
Turn the flashlight on a minute, Hornet, so I can see what
in. Now, put him up. What gun?
Stand back, Hornet. Thought I was reaching for my pen, huh?
Nice work, boss. You had a shoulder holster, huh?
You can't get away with it.
I am getting away with it. Drop that gun of yours.
I said you might. Come on, drop it.
Now, Hornet, we'll get you out of this place before any police arrive. All right, Aswell, grab him.
Okay.
Yeah, we got
him. Listen to me, Fisher.
You listen to me, Hornet. You're going to...
You... What? That gas. Oh.
Fisher.
Now for you, too.
Yeah. Yes. Hold him, Rand. Let me get him.
No, you're not.
Now you take care of him. I've got the Rand.
My arm.
Good thing you were here. Fisher's gassed. He's too knocked out. You used jiu-jitsu on Atwell, huh?
Yes, sir. I was behind the trolley.
I saw you there, but the others didn't.
Mulan.
Yeah. Rand and Atwell will be coming to in a minute. Quick, pick up that gun.
Very well.
We'll leave this confession beside Fisher. It's not signed, but I think it'll serve the purpose anyway.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now we'll get back in the shadows beside that window and see what happens.
The police
back here with me. There's no light for them to spot us.
Oh,
my.
I don't need somebody.
I'm sure they're here.
Maybe that light was a fake.
Here beside the trolley.
Here they are. Turn those flashlights this way.
Hey, these two mugs have been stopped. They're knocked out.
Doyle, here's Fisher.
Fisher?
Yeah. Chelpin Codfish, he's been gassed.
Officer, these two men are Moran and Atwell. They work in the repair shop.
Dirty work, I'll bet.
Look at this. The axle on this trolley's filed almost all the way through.
He's coming around.
Listen, Hornet. Don't tell the cops.
Hornet. Go on, Atwell. Keep talking.
The cops.
You and Moran did this job, didn't you?
Hey.
Spill it, Atwell. You're in too deep already.
Yeah. But we was working for Fisher. That's how. Fisher's the guy.
How?
I tell you, Fisher paid us to wreck all them trolleys.
And you'll swear to that in court?
Sure, I will. Sure. Moran, too.
Does this mean Fisher will be implicated?
Implicated? Mr. Hanson, Fisher will be convicted. He might have got away with it before, but now that we found him here with these two rats...
Yeah, right in the middle of another job. He's sunk, Mr. Hanson.
Hey, Sergeant, look at this. I found it next to Fisher's body.
Yeah, give me that.
That's for the police, Lowry. What the...
Hey, it's a confession, but... Uh-oh. It isn't signed.
Don't worry. It will be when we get Fisher down to headquarters. Take those lugs out.
Oh, my jaw.
Come on, you.
Grab the other one, Joe.
Yeah,
we'll come back for Fisher later.
Well, there you are, Hanson. You don't have to worry about the bus franchise when this hits the front page. What gets me is what happened to these guys.
What do you think, Doyle? The Green Hornet.
Huh?
If I hadn't followed the instructions in that letter, we'd never have caught Fisher.
What do you mean, Mr. Hanson?
His letter told me to call you. At first, I wasn't going to trust him. Then I thought it over.
Hey, we haven't seen that letter yet.
It was such a rush.
You got it with you?
Yes, I think so. It's in longhand.
Longhand?
Give, Hanson. Maybe that handwriting can be traced.
Well, here it is. But I doubt if you can trace it.
I'll take that.
When I first looked at it, the handwriting seemed to be disguised.
Come on, Doyle. Come on, open it up.
Hey, there ain't no writing on this page. It's blank.
Well, maybe you need glasses, Doyle.
I tell you, it's blank. Look.
Well, what do you know?
I'm positive there was writing on that paper before.
Well, there ain't any now. All there is this here Green Hornet seal in the corner.
Doyle, I get it. It's disappearing ink.
Disappearing ink?
Yeah. Try and trace that. Man, that Green Hornet thinks of everything.
And I thought I had me hooks on him.
What's that?
The Hornet's car.
There, out the window.
That's him, all right.
And there he goes.
Ah, if it wasn't for that car.
Look at it travel. Well, Doyle, I guess the Hornet's still got his sting.
Ah.
Yeah, but don't worry. Your name will go in the papers anyway.
Yeah, that's right. I nabbed Fisher and them, too.
And with a little help. Got a phone around here I can use, Mr. Hanson? The Sentinel's going to get an earful of front page stuff. And, boy, I'd like to see the Clarion try and beat this yarn.
Fisher arrested. Bus franchise defeated. Green Hornets to alert.
I'm not showing a date for that particular episode, but we know it has to be pretty early in the series because you caught the line about catching criminals that even the G-Men can't do. Well, Mr. Hoover wasn't happy about that, and he axed that phrase pretty quickly. So there's another one of the series that my parents grew up with and we're now enjoying. So I hope you've enjoyed this. The trolley episode is over, and I guess I'm off mine now, so it's time for me to head off. And Luis has been sitting patiently waiting because he has other things he wants to do tonight, so we'll turn it over to him to put the little finishing touches on it. And as usual, thank you for listening, because that's what makes it worthwhile. It's no fun to do this without people hearing it. Hope to see you next time in a few weeks when it comes around again, and we'll see what comes out of our little grab bag at that point. In the meantime, like we always say, good luck, good listening, good night, and goodbye. Luis? Come on, Luis.
All right, Rick. Thanks a lot, and great work. I'll take it from here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time again when I have to wrap things up and shut things down for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. But don't worry, we will be back again. All you need to do is come back and join us. You know where, and you know when. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, maybe even a request or two, please address them to MikeAmeli@earthlink.net. That's MikeAmeli@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and turning over the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. Just remember, be nice to one another. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.